that he doesn't change. He wrote it right the first time and didn't need to rewrite it. Man has tried to rewrite it in their mind the way they think God wanted it written. But this is the word of God vindicated. You know why it's vindicated? I don't need a vindication from somebody else. I have a vindication that this word made me alive. Made me alive. It gave me eternal life. And that's what we look to tonight. We'll, if you want to, you can turn your Bibles into the book of Romans. And thank you all for your prayers today. There was nothing going on in my stomach. And, like I said before, he expanded my esophagus is, you know, like 2 hours worth of sermons now, so I can handle that. The doctor said, Terrence said he was going to go with me and make sure they only put a 45-minute one in. So he didn't go. Praise the Lord, Jim went. So, but just keep remembering in prayer that everything else will turn out all right. We're still having some problems with our blood pressure, and I just don't know why. I guess it's y'all. Romans 8, verse 15. Let's bow our heads and talk to the author. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the purchase of your blood. You gave us an opportunity of salvation. Lord, you also gave us an opportunity for a continued walk. And promises that we have, sometimes we stop short of those promises. Lord, but may you, Lord, remind us of all the promises you gave us in the Bible from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. You gave us promises. You gave us promises of end time that things were going to happen and that God would send people, Lord, among us that would preach the word of God and we could listen to it and then say that's not nothing but the truth. It'll resonate from the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we continue this thought, Lord, that you'll help each one. Forgive us of our sins. Be with the ones that are not here that are traveling. Bring them back home safe, Father. And I know, Brother John, different ones are leaving in a week or so. Father, I pray that you'd be with him. Keep your mighty hand upon them as they take their journey, Lord, to different places and do his job. It's for his job, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you'd just keep your mighty hand upon them and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So there's nothing fearful in Christianity. Nothing. Nothing should make you afraid. Because it becomes a bondage. It binds you. All right? But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children of God, what are we? We're heirs, joint heirs with Christ. That means what Christ gets, we get. Come on. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, it's in red letter, I'm putting a red letter, of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in flesh, on the earth, in a bride. Amen? Jesus' body is not coming back here until the millennium. So his body is the body of believers, the body of Christians, the body of Christ around the world. That makes up his body, and we are what? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, word of his word. Everybody with me? All right, you may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word that we were looking at. Going back through the series there that Brother Brown preached on adoption, and we're going to bring out something tonight. If we get to it, that'll be fine, and we will just finish up on Sunday. But I want you to see something, why it's so important that we look, now get me, we look past the new birth, not past like pass by it, but receive it and then, receive it and plus. Receive it and get the other promises of God. Because remember, the promise of God is to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you and your children, them that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's a promise to give you the Holy Ghost. But God also promised, though, that this spirit of adoption, which is when you talk about adoption, you talk about growth development or growing up in God. We believe, as the Baptists believe, once saved, always saved. But if you're saved the first time, right? Everybody with me? You can't get baptized as a kid and have a letter in a vault somewhere and don't never go to a church ever again. And yeah, right. Anyway, that's not what God said. God said to walk with me, talk with me. I'll go inside of you and do my works through you. So then you are what? You are manifesting what God's done in your life. You're manifesting what your soul, you're going to manifest who you are anyway. You're going to manifest through your body is going to manifest what's in your soul. All right? Like Paul said, in the lust of the flesh and all the different things that we did back before we were born again, that was done because there was a motivator inside of me that was not of God. It was of the devil. It was an old nature that I was given because of the fall in the beginning that God said, I'm going to put enmity between that. I'm not going to what? I'm not going to be where I can get into your soul when you're a baby. But I'm going to give you a promise that if you'll come to this realization and become to salvation, and we'll look at it in just a few minutes, you come to this great work of salvation, then I'll come in you and then let me do the work. Get out of the way. Don't be in the way of God. It's His will and His way. Jesus said, Thy will be done. So what we say, Thy will be done. We all have a Garden of Gethsemane experience. We should have one where we wrestle it out. We wrestle it out with the world pulling on this side and God pulling on this side. And you're the one that decides it because you're the one that is a free moral agent that God's not going to override you and make you get saved. No, He's not that way. He said, everyone that the Father draws, though, I'll give him eternal life. So you hear that draw, and you become eternal by in your soul, and that's what we're sitting here today in heavenly places. But God wants us to be more than just that. He don't want us to be just a good church goer, come every once in a while and read every once in a while and do these every once in a while things. He wants us to be what? Good stewards of His Word. He gave us a plain Bible to read. He gave us a knowledge that even an illiterate person that can not read, if somebody read this to them, if they've got enough God in them, they'll say that ain't nothing but the truth. Because it'll resonate with what's inside of them. All right? So Ephesians 1, verse 3. Let's start right here. Now remember, this is the Ephesian church. I got back reading Ephesians the other day, the whole chapter. And man, it's just to a mature group of people. It's somebody that Paul could talk about adoption. He could talk about predestination. He could talk about the will of God. And he could talk about being what? In heavenly places and doing all these things. And in the book of Ephesus, he could talk plain. But in the book of Corinthians, he had to correct them. Every time he'd go into the town, he'd have to correct them something. That's why the book of Corinthians is the book of what? Corrections. All right? It corrected. Every time he'd go there, he'd have to set them down, Brother Danny, and say, all right, y'all got off right here. But he was a good pastor or evangelist or whatever he was. He was all the different offices. But Paul sat down and he would tell them, you're this kind of person, but such were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. So he gave them a way to where that he just didn't. He condemned them, but he condemned them like Jesus with nail-scarred hands, knowing that they were going to grow up in God if they continued on with God. So Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All right, so heavenly places is what? The believer's position in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Remember, God will never change His mind. God can't change His mind. So if He loved you in the beginning, if He loved you before the foundation of the world, there's not a time when He unloved you, but now there's a time when you unloved Him. There's a time when you didn't care anything about going to church. You didn't care anything about listening about God or about this Jesus guy. Don't tell me about that. Amen? I know we can all pretty much unless we were born in a bubble, we can pretty much identify with that. There was a time that we had conversation, Paul said, in times past, in the lust of the flesh. And what? Of doing it. Paul said, the things I would not, I do. The things I do, I would not. But in other words, though, we have an advocate that we can go and say, God, I'm sorry. According as he hath chosen us, where? In him, not of him. There are many people that are chosen of God. Listen, Judas was chosen of God. Hello? Come follow me. Judas had part of the ministry. Judas held the money. Judas was a real popular guy. But he was never in Christ. He was thought of by Christ, but he never was in Christ, or he wouldn't have done what he did. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, I can't do it. No, you cannot do it. But if you will get that God person inside of you, let him do it. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now remember, this adoption is not like the adoption in the world. All right? Because we adopt and go through an adoption process, and we adopt children or girls or boys that are somebody else's that don't want them, or the parents died, or whatever situation it is. We adopt them by paperwork. We adopt them into the family, which they were of another family. But now remember, in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, the rule of adoption in the Old Testament was, if you were born in the family, you were that son in that family. Remember, the prodigal son was a son of the father that loved him. Amen? So you and I, once we get into the family of God, we come to the heir part, or where we can be adopted if we so continue on with God. Christianity is not a set on your rear thing. It's a moving. God's in motion. Everything's in motion. The Word of God's in motion. Every day God's moving. He's moving on somebody in the world. We just got to be able to what? Listen to what he's saying. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now remember, Jesus never had any children. Physically, Jesus never had a child. I don't care what the stupid world says about it. He was pure and holy, born virgin, and he died on the cross a virgin. Everybody with me? So he could overcome all that. All right? Everybody with me? But now to be a child of God, then what have you got to do? You've got to be adopted into, you got to be in by new birth to the family of God. And then you come to where you're an heir of God, and you get what Jesus had. It says right here, heirs and joint heirs. That means what he gets, we get. All right? According to the good pleasure of his will. And what is his will? His will is his word. Tonight, you hold the will of God in your hand. Someone had to die to give you this will. Everybody with me? You don't read wills before they pass. So the death of the testator, Jesus Christ, had to die to give us this will. So every time we open this book, it is the will that God has for his children. All right? And you got a choice whether to be his children or not. To the praise of the glory of his grace, not of ours, wherein he hath made us accepted in him. I'm not changing that. Who is the beloved? He's the only beloved one. So made us accepted in Christ. Everybody with me? Now the prophet of God tells us, he said, look, Galatians 1 tells us that we were predestinated to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ, predestinated of God. Now listen, though many are called, but few are chosen. All right, now scripture. Judas was called, but he wasn't chosen to go on to the Holy Ghost. All right? The chosen was chose at the beginning. What? Before the foundation of the world. Now, but we were predestinated to the adoption of children of God by Jesus Christ. Him being omnipotent and knowing all things, he knew how many children he was going to have. You and I don't. We're human beings with a human mind that's finite, that's really narrow. But his mind is, I know every kid I'm ever going to have. because he never had them by a relationship with a woman. He had them by the spoken word in his brain, in his God. Yeah, God's got a brain. Wait a minute. Sorry. God's a person. He's not a spook. Okay? So he's got a mind. He's got eyes. He's got ears. Because remember in Genesis 1:26, Brother John, we were made in his image. So what did Adam look like? Adam looked like a human being because God is a human being. Oh, my. God's not something just floating around, folks. He's real. He's more real than you and I are because he made this whole thing. And what did he want us to do? He wants to bring sons to himself. And not just bring sons to himself, but he wants to nurture us, care for us, help us to grow, and then what? Trust us. He wants to trust us with the will that he's given us. Now watch. And today, the church has gone on for year after year after year. And when we see God call a man out, one of his sons, and positionally places him and makes him his son and recognizes it before the public, then we turn that son down. Did they not turn Jesus Christ down? Who turned Jesus Christ down? The sinner? The prostitute? Who turned him down? The religious world. The religion of the world is what put Jesus on the cross. You said, no, I did. Yes, we did. But they physically put him up there. Everybody with me? All right. So it's the religious world. It's the religious world you got to watch out for every time. To make him his son and recognize it before the public, then we turn that son down and say he's a divine healer or a holy roller. Don't you see where the church, I don't know what the remedy is. I don't know how it'll ever get back to its place, but that's the way our attitudes are toward that person. If the ministry is of God, now watch, if the ministry is of God, God will vindicate that ministry. So we've seen the ministry in the end time. God told us in Malachi 4, 5, and 6 that he would send us Elijah the prophet to bring everything back together. Amen? And turn our hearts back to the original word of God, not to a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal and all those different denominations. God is not that confused. We are, but God's not that confused. If it isn't of God, then God will have nothing to do with it. All right? Adoption series. How can you preach predestination of God, foreordaining and setting, unless there's a sin atonement somewhere? So you have to come to the sin atonement first. All right? I'm setting the stage here for something I want you to see that happened in the Old Testament. Why is it each day you make a mistake, each day you do wrong? But if you're born again, man or woman, as soon as you make the mistake, God knows you're sorry for it. You can stand in the presence of President Roosevelt or anybody else and say, I'm wrong. God, forgive me for this thing. So you notice the Bible tells us that sins, a sinner is a sinner. He does not commit sins. He is a sinner. Being a sinner, he has all the sins on him. All right? But you and I, being born again and still being connected to this old nature, we have sins. We sin every day. Anything contrary to God is a sin. All right? So that's why we have to say, forgive me, Lord, about 250 times before lunch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, pray for me. But the church commits sin, does wrong, gets a wrong thought, wrong impression, makes scruples. Wobbles like a little child walking. Now remember, this is his child. This is his child. Trying to learn how to walk. He just don't know how to walk good yet. Because he's a little boy. When you first get born again, you're a spirit-born babe in Christ, as Paul says, desiring what? The sincere milk of the word of God. All right? Because he's a little boy. You can't take a little baby that's 6 months old and feed it steak. Now, I was little like that once. Well, yeah, I was. I was little like that 60-something years ago. And I love milk because I couldn't eat meat. I didn't have no teeth. I'm getting about that way now. But praise the Lord, they make false ones. But anyway, and I still eat meat. But I still like to drink milk every once in a while, too. But that's not my sustain. That's not, not my sustainment. I don't go to Texas Roadhouse and order a glass of milk and then leave. No, we get a big one. We get beef steak. And y'all remember now, June, the Saturday before Father's Day, I remind y'all this, before Father's Day, whatever that is, June the 16th, 17th, we're going to, all the men and the young boys are going to Deer Lodge to eat steak. And you're talking about steak. You better be hungry when you go up there. I wish you was as hungry here to hear this than you would be that steak up there, because this is much better than that steak. It'll sustain you a lot better. You know what? A couple days later, you'll get hungry again. You'll want to go back up and get a steak again. Because he's a little boy. But we have a hand that reaches down and gets us and steadies us and said, make this step this way, son. He doesn't pick us up and spank us because we made a mistake. You didn't whip your child once they started walking. It was the cutest thing in the world. They'd fall, you'd laugh. But what did you do? You didn't whip them. You picked them back up and said, I want my kid to walk before the neighbor's kid. I want my kid to be the first one to walk. So you kept standing him or her up, and if she fell or he fell over, you'd pick them right back up. You never spanked them. You picked them back up. That's the way Jesus Christ is. When we're born into the kingdom of God, he is the Father. Because we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. And he's so gracious to come and say, hey, this is the way you walk. I know you're going to fall. I've already seen you fall before the foundation of the world. But I'm going to pick you back up right here, and I want you to walk again. I want you to take a few more steps. You remember when your kids started walking? How proud were you? Man, you were so proud. Then you had to take everything that they could get and put it up on the shelf, because now they're going to get into everything. But it was glorious then, but not when they started knocking stuff over. Bella. So he doesn't pick us up and spank us because we made a mistake. He doesn't beat us to death because we're trying to walk. He loves us like we love our children. A real daddy wouldn't whip his child when he's trying to walk if he falls down on the floor. Reach right down with a big strong hand and pick him up. Take both hands and hold and said, this is the way you do it, son. Walk this way. What is that? That's this right here. Walk this way. This is the hand of God. Everybody with me? That's the way God does his church. Reaches down and gets him in his arms. Picks him up and says, walk this way, son. Here, don't say it like that. Talk it like this. Now, I don't care what the church says, what this says. You say it like this. Like this, this is it. My word preaches it. You stay right with it. Don't care what everybody else says, stay right with it. Walk like this. This is the way you make your steps. So he's give us what? The word of God. To guide our what? Footsteps. All right? Everybody with me? A couple more. We'll get into a little thought here, and then we'll close. Now watch what the prophet said. False teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the word, the birth of the word, which is Christ. False prophets will bring false birth, the birth of churches, creeds, denominations. And here you are, Pentecostal brethren. Now watch this. False scent are sensations. And tell a man he's got the Holy Ghost because he speaks with tongues. Now we don't believe in that. Paul didn't believe in that. Peter didn't believe in that. And God didn't believe in it. Everybody with me? Speaking in tongues is fine. But it's not your evidence. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is where you can do what this word says or not. All right? Because he says, look, he says, not the birth of all these things. He's telling a man he's got the Holy Ghost because he speaks with tongues. I've seen devils speak with tongues. Pencils laid right in unknown tongues. That's not God. I'll put that in there. But if the life isn't there to back it up, that's what he's talking about. So I want you to just, for a moment, let's look at something here, and then we'll type it for a second in the Old Testament. But remember, when you're born again, or when you come to Christ, you're a newborn babe. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everybody with me? All right. That's simple, but this is the way we get here. All right. And he becomes your Savior. Now, potentially, he's your bridegroom. But you're not thinking about that at the moment. Everybody with me? Our mental attitude is that he saved me from my sins. So he's my savior. He's my healer. He's my redeemer. He's my all in all. He's all the compound names. But remember, there comes a time when the Bible talks about a bride. And the bride is not a baby. A wife is not a baby. So now we see him a little bit more as not so much Savior. Now remember, if he saved you one time, if he has saved your soul, he don't have to ever save you again. He won't do it. He doesn't have to. All right? Everybody with me? But there is a time when we're walking in God that we need to learn that he's our head. You're not worrying about that. He's your Savior when you're first born again. But then headship comes under when you marry and you become a bride. Come on. And you make him your bride. He's your bridegroom. Then you come under headship just like in the book of Genesis. Everybody with me? And Paul tells what? He tells us in the Bible, he tells us to what? Honor your husband. He's the head of your household. He's your head. And then listen, remember, men, we can't beat our chest because we have a head. We're bride also. Everybody with me? You're bride also. We're the bride of Jesus Christ, male or female. That's what Paul said. Doesn't matter, male or female, circumcised, uncircumcised. You come into the body of Christ, you become the bride of Jesus Christ. But at first, he's your tender Savior. He lets you get by with some things. Come on. Hello. But there comes a time when Paul tells us that there's a time when God will wink at our ignorance and he'll kind of, you know, say, well, they're human. I know they're going to make mistakes. But there comes a time when he says, okay, now you're my wife. Me and you are going to have to be a little bit more close together. We're going to have to start having the same mind. Come on, somebody. We're going to have to be, what, together, in love with one another. And then what? There is after the marriage ceremony, there's a getting together period of learning each other. Hello? You did not marry your wife the first time. I don't care. You might have dated her for 25 years. I hope not. But when you get married and have to live in the same household with that guy, and he used to smell real good on Saturday night and took a bath, hopefully on Saturday before he met you, he smelled good, he looked good. Every time you saw him, his hair was just perfect. Amen? After you get married, he comes in smelling like a horse. His hair looks like he's been drugged by a horse. Well, hello, somebody. Yeah, Donnie, I'm talking about you. But what? That's where you learn to really love each other. And look what? Look past the inadequacies. Look past the, my wife is beautiful. And she's always beautiful to me. We were looking at some pictures, you know, her sister passed. And I appreciate all your prayers and continued prayers. But we got to reminiscing. You know how somebody pass away and you'll pull out all the pictures. So we were pulling out all the pictures. Well, I met her when she was 17. And we pulled all those pictures out. And I just got all excited all over again. So, and you should do that the same way with your wife too. She was beautiful. I said, you're beautiful, still beautiful. I don't care what changed in the picture. It's the love that takes over now. So God's the same way. He's not going to, listen, God's not going to condemn you. And listen, God can't condemn you for what you did in the past if you have repented. We can remember those fights and fusses and where we were when we got mad at each other and right? But if we place it under the blood and ask God to forgive us, then our matrimony with Jesus Christ is perfect. If we'll stay that way, if we'll stay fortified with our spouse, then we won't, yes, we'll have human problems, but we won't have any problems with him if we stay fortified behind our husband. Everybody with me? Now watch. Now Brother Brown's continuing on. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed to him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. All right, so now there's bringing in harmony. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. What? Baby. A baby inside of Mary, right? That was a baby that was not conceived by human beings. A created germ and a created egg by God himself placed into the womb of Mary. Man had nothing to do with it. She was just the oven to make the thing grow. And I can call it a thing because the Holy Ghost said that this thing will be born in you, be born of the Holy Ghost. Right? So the word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Now this is the bride, not a baby. He's moved out of the Savior part. We remember him as being our Savior. He saved us once. He's not going to have to save us like that again, because salvation is of the Lord. We do not believe in that if we have a good day, then we're born again, and then we have a bad day tomorrow, and we're not born again. God's not an Indian giver. If he give you the Holy Ghost, if he burn all that old nature of you out and put his self, inside of you, then he can't take himself out. Now listen, he can anoint you. He can anoint the anointed ones. He can anoint Caiaphas. He can anoint Judas. But they never came to a what? A conception in their soul. God never got into their soul and birthed them into the family of God. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Now, this is what? This is the maturity part. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit. Because you got to have both. You got to have word and spirit. Jesus said, my words are what? Spirit and life. All right? Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that's planted and watered, it comes to full harvest. Now watch, serving its purpose, full harvest. We're not talking about an immature plant. We're not talking about a plant that's just coming up out of the ground. We're talking about a plant that has fruit on it, bearing fruit. So now, let the prophet tell us what is adoption. Now, let me get this now. I don't know whether I won't have time to get through all this, but what he says, look, your adoption is not your birth. All right, I've said before, you can be born again by the Spirit of God, and you can decide whether you want to go on with God or not. But I'm going to explain to you what happened to a group of people in the Old Testament when they didn't go on with God. Everybody with me? All right, in just a second. So your adoption is your placing. So what happened when we get to the Old Testament? What was Moses' commission? To get them to the promised land. Not into the promised land. He got them up to the promised land. Joshua took over and took them into the promised land. But there was a situation happened right before they got ready to go. There's type just perfect in what we're typing now and what we're typing in the end time. Everybody with me? We'll get to it in just a second. Your adoption is your placing. When you were born again, I believe when you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. Remember, he cannot change his mind. But we were predestinated, or what? Predetermined. God saw that be a group of people that would want it more than life itself. That they would want to grow with God. That they want more of God instead of just sitting in a church. It says a walk with God, not a sit down. Even Paul says, let's run this race. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to you. For this sons of the last day. Now, what's he doing? He's bringing it to the last day. This sons of the last day. See, we were predestinated unto adoption. Now, here we are, he said. Now, here we are. Now, this is what hurts Pentecostals a little. They say, I got born again. Praise the Lord. Got the Holy Ghost. Fine. Now, watch. You're a child of God. That's right. But yet, that ain't what I'm talking about. That whole adoption series is not talking about being born again. It's talking about growing in God. Being adopted into the family, whether your name is good on a checkbook as your father's name is. Adoption is placing a son. Now look, now after you come into eternal life, after you've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're sons. Now what happened, and we'll read it in just a second, but what happened in the wilderness? What happened to the children of Israel, which is the type of me and you? Everybody with me? Don't go to sleep. Say amen. We got visitors here. Thank you. Well, what happened? Moses took them where? Out of Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world, right? They were in the world, but they were not of the world. They were taken out of the world, justified. Their wilderness journey was called the wilderness of sin. So you're walking through, you're what? You're coming to sanctification, which is cleaning them up, getting them ready. Actually, what it done, it cleaned them up so much, there was only two left on the other side. 2 million went out, two went in with their children. Everybody with me? All right. So you get, though, what is our promised land? It's Canaan. You had to cross over Jordan. Death to yourself. Jordan always, always means death. But you got to cross Jordan, over Jordan, into the promised land before a Joshua comes and takes over to place you into that land. Is everybody with me? So now, after you come into eternal life, after you've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, in other words, your journey has carried you to Kadesh Barnea, where you have to make a decision to go on or stay, right? Then the ones that went over didn't listen to them other 10 lying preachers, because 12 people went over there. They come back and said, it's a good land. It's nice. It's good, but we can't take it. But Joshua and Caleb says, we're more than able to take it. That's the Joshua and Caleb group that I'm looking at today. The Holy Ghost with Joshua in a group of people called the bride of Jesus Christ, which is Caleb. Caleb said, give me my mountain. Now watch. After you've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're sons. Now God's wanting to place you positionally. Now, what is that word place? It's a position. It's somewhere you, if you take a position in work, say you go to work and you work for a little while and they offer you a what? A position. It's something new. In other words, instead of you just being a worker that works all out through here, all of a sudden, the boss is going to give you a position. He's going to give you something to do, listen to me, specific to what you were before. And you might be able to go out here and roam around a little bit, but he wants you to take this position and stay in it. Because he has looked at you and saw you as the Holy Ghost looks at you down through your life and says, hey, this is where you need to be, right here. Because everything fits. Your attitude fits. I didn't say your attitude had a fit. I said your attitude fits. Okay, maybe I'll wake you up a little bit. Now, God's wanting to place you positionally, also that what? So that you can work for the kingdom of God and his glory. Remember, in the type in the Old Testament, when they came up to Kadesh Barnea, the 12 spies went across. They all came back. Two of them said we're more than able. The other 10, as I preached a long time ago, on 10 lying preachers. That's what it was. They preached their angle. We're grasshoppers. We've never seen people this big. We can't take it. Well, the whole group believed them. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb was ready to go over that day. But what? The unbelief of the people kept them in the wilderness. The unbelief is what's keeping you and me in our position we're in now, which is not the position God wants us in. He wants us to go on. He wanted Moses to take us to the edge of the promised land. But there was a Joshua standing there that was more than able to not just take the group over, but to say, Ephraim, you go here. Manasseh, you go here. You go here. There's something going on here in just a few minutes. I'll prove to you what's happening in the end time by the word of God. All right? Get to it in just a second. Here we go. We're right here. Now, I've typed it with Joshua. If you notice, Israel was brought up out of Egypt, and there's three stages of the journey. Now, is there not three stages of your journey? Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost brings the new birth, which puts you a son and daughter of God. Everybody with me? So there's three stages of their journey. One stage was what? Leaving Egypt, typing the world. The next stage was the wilderness, what? To clean everything out, get rid of all the riffraff, hello. Get rid of all the things you used to do. I don't do them no more. And the next stage was Canaan. All right, you with me? Now, Canaan does not represent the age of the millennium. It only represents the age of the overcomer. Remember in Revelations, you've got seven overcomings in the church age and one overcoming after the white throne judgment, after the holy city comes down. There's an overcoming. He that overcome gets all things. All right, you ready? It only represents the age of the overcomer, the dispensation of overcoming. Now look, when we get in the millennium, we don't have to overcome. We've already overcome. Because in Canaan, they killed and burned and took cities. In other words, when you cross over into their promised land, when you're promised a new birth, you're not promised that you won't get a bill in your mail. You're not promised that your car will never run out of gas. You're not promised that we don't preach prosperity here except the prosperity that's in the Word of God. Because you're going to have troubles, heartaches, trials. Jesus did, so you are. Everybody with me? Because Canaan, they killed, burned, took cities, and there's no death in the millennium. But another thing that it does, it brings up justification by faith. Listen, they believed Moses and left Egypt. Moses is the type of the Lord leading you through your journey. So they believed Moses' message, so that justified them. They believed, all right? Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All right, they came out. They came out under sanctification, followed the pillar of fire, the atonement of the sacrificial lamb. But what happened during that wilderness? They would groan and complain, and God give them something, and he'd kill them. Remember, they complained about the manna? He gave them quail, and while the quail was in their teeth, he sent serpents among them, because he's going to prove that I gave you manna, and manna is what you're going to eat. I gave you the word of God. That's what I want you to eat. I don't want you to eat something else, because it'll kill you. This won't. Even when they ate manna, manna was so pure, it took care of everything. Do you know in Jewish tradition, now this is tradition, they can't prove it, but Jewish tradition is there was no site or there was no writings of a bathroom or a latrine with 2 million people walking for 40 years, no bathrooms. Because usually history will say, because we all have to go to the bathroom. That was so pure. They said that manna was so pure that it absorbed in their body. Oh, it came from God. It wasn't a little Debbie cake. That will kill you. Little Debbie is not kind. It'll give you a shape, that's for sure, a round one. But round is a shape. So they were sanctified through the falling of the pillar of fire, the atonement of the sacrificial lamb in the wilderness, and then entering into a land, listen, that had been promised. God told them in the journey. Now listen, God is omnipotent. God is all-knowing. He knew when 2 million left Egypt that only two people of the original group was going to be left. But yet he told them every day, if you'll do this, I'll give you this. Go here, I'll do this. I'll give you water that'll water 2 million people, plus cattle and horses and donkeys and lambs, the whole time you're in the wilderness. That river followed them wherever they went, and it wasn't just a... It was a gusher. It had to feed that many people. Now, listen, they didn't go get a Diet Coke. There wasn't anything on the corner for them to go buy. It was water. But you know, that manna was so pure that they didn't even need to change clothes. Bible says, right? Bible says the shoes that they wore stayed on their feet. The clothes that they wore stayed on their body. Wow, Walmart would be out of business, wouldn't it? So he gave us a promise. What is the promised land? The promised land is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you and your children, them that are far off, me as the Lord our God shall call. Everybody with me? All right? So now listen, and then we'll get into it. Now remember, they had to eat manna through the wilderness. All right? Everybody with me? Angels' food out of heaven. Until they crossed over into the land. And when they crossed over the land, the manna ceased to fall. All right? They were fully matured then. Okay? And they eat the old corn of the land. In other words, what somebody had planted, they ate the corn that was already matured. They didn't have to eat manna anymore. They were eating what? Fully developed ears of corn. Now, that's, you're not babies anymore. Now, that you're not desiring the sincere milk of the gospel, that you don't have to be babied and patted and persuaded to come to church. Now that you're real, fully matured Christians, you're ready to eat strong meat now. You're ready to come into something. And you're ready to understand something that's deep and rich. Oh, we'll get to it directly. Oh, it's been hidden since the foundation of the world. He said, now that you've come to this, I'm addressing this to you. Not those that left Egypt. All right? Not the mixed multitude, not the ones that left Egypt. Not to those, now look, who are still in the journey. You're not a fully matured, you're not a full Christian until you get into the promised land. All right, everybody with me? But to those who are in the promised land that has received the promise. Now, how many has received the promise of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Oh, aren't you glad you're in the land? Over here now, eating the old corn, eating the strong things of God, and got a clear understanding. Your spiritual mind is all muddled up. You know exactly, it's not all muddled up. You know exactly who he is. You know exactly what he is. You know exactly where you're going. You know exactly all about it. You know in whom you have believed and persuaded he's able to keep that which you've committed to him against that day. You're not babies running around all over the place. You're wanting to be placed. You have come into promised land. God's promised you a piece of ground. If you got a kid today, that's your piece of ground. That piece of ground came out of you, didn't it? So that's your piece of ground. You need to claim it. Amen. We claim all of our children. We want our children saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. And I want them to be mature. Amen. To mature. All right, let's look in the Bible. Let's go to Numbers 32, verse 1. Now, what happened is, let me set the stage for you. What happened is there's a couple of tribes come to Moses, and I'll read it here, but I want to kind of paraphrase. It was Reuben, which was the firstborn, Gad, and Manasseh. Okay? They were sheep herders. They were cattle farmers. Everybody with me? All right? Listen real quick. Be done in just a few minutes, because this ain't going to last very long, maybe another hour. Numbers, verse 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. This is the Bible, Numbers 32, verse 1, if you want to turn there. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. So the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, now these are two tribes, all right? Then Manasseh is going to come in a little later. But it's a type of what's going on today. Everybody with me? The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses. Now look, they didn't speak to Joshua. Moses is still alive. All right? They're not in the promised land yet. Everybody with me? Because Moses died before they went in the promised land. So Moses is still alive. The messenger is still alive. All right? Spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the prince of the congregation, say. Now here's the two heads of the tribe, and then Manasseh is going to come in a little bit later. But it's going to make a perfect type of what's happening today. Ataroth, Dabon, Jazar, Nimrod, Heshbon. I wish it was Smiths and Dales, but it's not. They got funny names. Elilah, Shabon, Nebo, and beyond. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. All right, now look. Shake yourself just for a minute, because you got to get the string of this, or you'll miss it. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, talking to who? Talking to Moses. If I have found grace in thy sight, or we, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Now what's Jordan? Jordan is the gap between the wilderness of sin and the promised land. All right? They want their possession on this side of Jordan. All right? Promised land's on this side. They want to stay over here because it's a goodly land. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you just sit here? Because Moses knew when they were going to go across into the promised land, they was Canaanites, Hivites, Hittites, Jebusites, Websites, and all those otherites. All right? And he knew there was going to be war. And why would these two want to shun everything and stay over here and not help their brothers in the promised land? Everybody with me? All right? Hold your hand up if I go past you. Because this is a beautiful type of what's happening now. Shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into that land? In other words, we don't want to go. So the other brothers are saying, well, why we got to go over here and fight for our possession? And they're staying over here. But Moses gave them a stipulation. Continue. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. So Reuben and Gad and half-tribe Manasseh, one of them three, or all three of them, were the three lying preachers that went across into the promised land and said, we're not able to take that land. All right, you with me? So there's a precedence. Moses knows they went across into the promised land, came back and said, we can't take it. But what a good God. Hang on a minute. Let's go to Numbers 32, verse 20. Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord. Everybody with me? All right. So you're not going to stay over here and sit down and eat pumpkin pie and whipped cream. You got to help your brethren because you're all in the same family. Right? Them 12 brothers were 12 brothers. And that was the 12 tribes of Israel. And they were all together. If you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord. Now, so remember, now that's taking them what? That's taking them, Brother John, is taking them into the promised land. Everybody with me? Even though they said, we want our possession over here, Moses said, that's okay, but you're going to have to go over here and get you some fight. help your brothers possess this land. And then he's going to tell them, then you can go back over and possess the property you have. All right? And that's a real good type of what's going on now. And we'll go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterwards you shall return, and watch, and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But now watch. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build your cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, say, thy servant will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones and our wives and our flocks and all of our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. Let's go to Numbers 32. Verse 27. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. All right. The two tribes and a half tribe. Got me? So now what? The separation of the half tribe has got some significance. All right, everybody with me? So that means that half of Manasseh's staying, and half of Manasseh's getting a possession. With me? All right, just for a minute. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua, the son of Nun. I like that, because Joshua was the type of Christ, and he was the son of Nun. So anyway, and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle. So they're ready to fight. And the land shall be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. Everybody with me? Numbers 34, verse 13. We've got to continue. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and half tribe. So you had 12 tribes. Everybody with me? Nine and a half are going to stay. Two and a half are going to come back over here. They went into the promised land, but they came back. All right? Now watch. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho eastward toward the sun rising. Now remember, they went into the promised land, fought, but didn't take a possession. They didn't go in any further. They went back to this piece of property over here. Everybody with me? Joshua verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you into your unto your tents, and into the land of your possession, which Moses... Now remember, Moses was the lawgiver. Joshua was Jehovah's Savior. Moses was the lawgiver. All right? Everybody with me? But now you got to remember, though, those two tribes and half-tribe, they went across Jordan into the promised land. They got born again by type. But they didn't want to go on further. They wanted to go back and take up this land over here because it was a good land. This wasn't what God promised. This was what God promised. But God allowed them through Moses to come back over here as a type. All right? But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God. In other words, you don't just come over here and fight and go back over here and live like heathens. You're Christians, but you don't want to go any further. You want to come back here. The Lord charged you to love your God, to walk in all of his ways, keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So Joshua, now the Jehovah Savior, the Holy Ghost, type of the Holy Ghost, right, Joshua, blessed them and sent them away, and they went in unto their tents. What are you saying, Brother Wade? You got Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Two and a half tribes. Luther went over and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost under their messenger. But they didn't go on with God. They come back over here into their denominational idea. Wesley said, we'll go over and help you out, but we're not going to go any further. We believe in sanctification. But they were in the land. But God said, it's okay, you can go back. And then Pentecost, they divided. Half of Pentecost went across. The other half already was over there. That was this group you're talking about now. But this half, them old ones that fought against Brother Branham and fought against all different things and said tongues was the evidence and all that stuff, they got the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got into the promised land. They helped fight. But they didn't go on. They wanted to come back here where it was more comfortable. To stay into their little denomination, and God winked at their ignorance and said, that's okay. So Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, they didn't come to a placing. They didn't come to adoption. But now that half tribe of Manasseh that stayed over there, I'm looking at them right now. These are the ones that wanted to be placed. They had a place on this side of Jordan. They didn't want to go back to their old denominational slop. They wanted to stay over here in the promised land, eat the old corn of the land, fight their fights. This is my land. Give me my property. This is mine. I'm moving on. God winked at Luther and Wesley and part of Pentecost and said, we're satisfied. We're satisfied the way we are. We'll be all right. We don't know anything much about that furtherment of going on with God, but we've got this. And you know what? God winked at their ignorance and said, okay, I'll accept that, but you're not staying over here. You're not staying over here. This is the promise to give you full maturity. This is not. But he said, okay, but you got to go over there and fight. You can't say I'm a denomination to myself and I ain't going to go over there and help nobody. No, they got the Holy Ghost under their anointing, under their messenger. They received the Holy Ghost, same one you got, but they didn't want to go on to the promised land. They wanted to come back over here where it was greener pasture, where they didn't have to do so much. They did fight over here, but remember, when they came back over here, they still fought over there because they kept going on. So that half tribe of Manasseh today, I'm talking to you, that decided that I'm going to go on the promised land, stay on the promised land. I'm not going back over Jordan. I'm staying on this side. And I'm going on with God. I'm taking the message of the hour, and I'm going to stay in my promised land. I'm not going anywhere else. This is my land. This is where every sole of my foot, that's what I possess. Let's stand to our feet. That's what happened in the Old Testament as a type to showing us that they're only going to go so far. They're only going to go so far with the word, Brother Manuel. But that other tribe over here, I believe they was hanging around Caleb. They heard Caleb say, give me my mountain. They said, give me my piece of property. I know that we spoke in tongues back over here and God was good to us and he healed us and did all these things, but we want more. We want more. They come over and got the new birth. The other ones went back. They said, okay, they're still brothers. They're still part of the tribe, but they're going over here. Now, I'm going to find it, but Brother Branham tells us that either Gad or Reuben is one city that was, there was a city in one of those two areas that Jesus went into, and I think it was when he, I know what it is, Gadara. You know what happened in Gadara? The demon, the possessed demon. They told Jesus to leave. Brother Brown said, he said, that's why they turned him down, because that tribe never went over and stayed in the promised land. I'll find the quote, and I'll bring it Sunday. But that's how perfect the word is. You look at these types and shadows, and you see exactly that God will give you the Holy Ghost. But you got to decide whether you want to be in this promised land or not, and stay there. And get more of the old corn of the land. Don't go back to the manna. Don't go back to the real pretty fine things. Listen, we're going to get those little pretty fine things in the millennium. You and I will. But not here. We got to fight for every inch of ground. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Yeah, let's sing As the Deer.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
That's your desire. Did you have a desire like that the other nine tribes and the half tribe?
They
said, I want this over here.
Desire,
I'm not going to stay right here. I want more of this promised land. I'm not satisfied to be here. I want more of God.
You alone, my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Sing it to him.
You're my friend.
To be a happy queen.
The others so much more.
Take all the possessions in the land and stay there, because that's where it was promised. It wasn't promised over here.
You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit.
Of gold
or silver,
or a big piece of silver,
only you
that'll go away.
Can set.
But if you take him, it's for eternity.
You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye.
Sing it to him. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to help us when we get in the promised land to place us where we need to be. Brother Branham always says, he says, why would Ephraim, that was where the oil was. Why would he want to go over here in Manasseh's cornfield and mess it up? If Manasseh is supposed to bring forth corn, let him bring corn. Let Ephraim bring forth the oil. But what the problem is we want to be like that guy and that person over here, and we want to be the biggest and the highest, and we want to have this, and we want to have all this stuff. No, just ask God one day. Just sit down one day and just say, what's my purpose? You know, you don't have to, I don't have to tell you that. Unless I get a word from the Lord, I'm never going to tell you that. Well, I believe Sister Rachel needs to see it. What it does, it puts something in her mind, and it's not God. But if it's thus saith the Lord, it'd be from God. But if God will drop down and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. I'm pleased to dwell in you, but I want you to do this right here. I want you to do this right here. This is what I want you to do. And you feel safe in it, and you feel where you got pride in it. And listen, that's when the Holy Ghost is going to go back to the Father and say, they're doing exactly what you told them to do. And I'm pleased to dwell and happy to use you to where we didn't get to it, but we'll get to it Sunday, where when you get saved, you get a checkbook with Jesus' name on it. Write it for whatever you want. But there's going to be a day when he's going to hand you a blank check and says, what you say. You say to this mountain, whatever you say, and don't doubt in your heart, it'll be given to you. You say. So the checkbook is blank. You put your name on it. And put my children, Wade Dale. And God will back it up because he said he would. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening you've given us. Lord, thank you so much for the bride of Jesus Christ. And for the word that we've been given in the end time, that we can have so much confidence, Lord, that it come from you. Father, the world may be falling apart and all the different things going on, but Lord, as we said before, I believe we're in the right vehicle on the right road. There may be bumps, there may be heartaches, potholes, there may be trials and tribulations, but Lord, I believe we're on the right path, and you'll lead us through because you said you would. Father, forgive us of our faults and many mistakes, Lord. Just continue to heal all of our bodies, Lord, and bless us, Lord, in our feeble efforts to worship you, Father. Bless the ones that are on the highways and different places that are sick too, Lord. I ask you to bless them. Lord, just be with us as we come back together, Lord, this weekend, Father, that we'll take communion and foot washing in your precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
I want